two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny
it's
day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Anton Bettis with you this morning. We are coming to you from Biograss in Sandy, and Hayden Duffin is with us as well. Wanted to start the hour talking about your irrigation. I know a lot of people are turning on their sprinklers and just things to be thinking about to be water-wise this year as we are in the middle of a drought again, or still. I don't know how to put it, Ton. We're still in a drought.
We are. My wife just texted me saying my son hit a line drive and got a base hit. So go out.
Yay!
Yes.
Okay.
I know we're not really awesome. Supposed to do that, but yeah, it's a, you know, I am surprised the state is already, you know, it's April and they're hitting this drought thing pretty hard. And it's not that they're trying to be environmentalist wackos, but we could run out of water for irrigation. And it's, I don't know that it's dire yet, but it's a serious situation. And unfortunately, I've already seen people running sprinklers and not just testing them.
We've tested ours.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yep.
But I have seen them going off at like 9 and 10 o'clock at night on a regular run. I've been preparing a side yard for landscaping, and the soil about, you know, 4 to 6 inches down is wet. You know, especially I've got a little bit more clay soil, but just it's so irresponsible to be running your sprinklers right now. I saw a major city in Utah County running sprinklers already, and they weren't testing it. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And I just scratched my head and just go, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, you know that they have people who have to come in and test their sprinklers early in the season because they have a lot of businesses they're working with. But at the same time, they don't have to actually start the system running on a regular basis at this point. What is the responsible thing to do at this point? If your people are getting their sprinkler systems on today, what should they be thinking about? How often should they be watering? When do they start? That kind of thing.
Well, if they go to slowtheflow.org, they will tell... You can get a list of how often you should be watering. And for northern Utah, it's zero. Southern Utah, you're maybe once a week. And the slowtheflow.org, which is a government-sponsored website, will tell you how many times to irrigate. So that, and the measure they're using is they want water to penetrate 6 inches to a foot into the soil. And I don't think people realize that about 60% of the water that we use is poured on our lawns and not used in our homes or anything. And it's not that I love my lawn, my kids play on it. I'm not disparaging lawns at all, but we water our lawns 50% too much. So actually we double the amount of water they need because of inefficiencies in our sprinkling systems.
And if we start out watering now, the lawns expect it because it's not going deep into the root system.
And it's not. And so what you're going to be doing is in another couple of weeks, when we start to really warm up, maybe water once a week, but you water deeply. Force those roots down. And then every time you water, you know, you can get a screwdriver or a bent piece of rebar and, you know, run your irrigation system, give it 12 hours, and then go poke your screwdriver or that rebar into the soil and see how deeply it easily penetrates. And when you start getting resistance, that's how deep that you've watered. And so, I mean, some other things that you can be doing, and Hayden, you can jump in on this, but would you like to talk about maybe checking the sprinkling system to make sure that it's functioning properly?
Yeah, it's always great to make sure that you can, that your sprinkling system is working properly, just like you guys were saying. You've been testing them out, making sure I've turned mine on to make sure I don't have any heads busted, because now is a good time when it's cool to do any fixing stuff. But yeah, there's really no reason to be having them on right now. And we're not even, you know, Biograss isn't even cutting sod quite yet. So there's no need to be actually, you know, putting water on your lawn.
No, so there's not.
Talk for a second about the roots, getting those roots to go down. So if you're watering, if you start watering now, they're going to stay on the surface.
Roots grow where water is.
How does that impact how well the lawn does?
Well, shallow roots make the lawn less able to recover from fungal diseases and from insect pests. If you have a deeply rooted lawn, if you get some minor bill bugs in there, you may see a little bit of brown here or there, but those deeply rooted grass plants will be able to recover more quickly and tolerate more feeding and be more resistant to diseases. You know, a healthy lawn forms relationships with soil microorganisms, and those microorganisms actually colonize the root surface and they fight off diseases. And so when you see a lawn that's a little less maintained, that has a few dandelions, that looks perfectly green, and then the two adjacent lawns that are way over fertilized, cut too short, and you see necrotic ring spot everywhere, the reason is that the lawn that's a little under maintained has been trained to be tougher, have deeper roots, and more able to recover from such things.
All right, let's talk about those people who want to put in their sod right now. I mean,
if you can get it.
Yeah, it's cooler season, though. When you want to put in lawn, you want to start cooler in the cooler part of the
season. It's always easier to establish seed or sod when it's cool. And so right now, the cooler weather makes it so you don't need to water it as often. It'll root out more easily, and it'll just establish more easily doing it now than in the middle of July.
So, Hayden, if somebody were to put seed down today, for example, is it a good idea to put it down today? Is it still too cool? And how much would they have to water it if they put it down?
You know, a good rule of thumb is similar to times of when you're putting your annuals in and stuff. That's the most safe time. But I think anybody that's putting seed down right now is going to be okay. I don't think you're going to run into any problems with germination. It is good to keep that seed moist. So you do want to, you know, have some sort of water on it. You know, probably only once a day to really keep it moist, that top inch of soil, just so when that seed starts germinating, you can actually have those roots be grabbing onto some water. And we also have a starter fertilizer that we sell with our seed that will help with nutrients with those seeds once they do start germinating. But yeah, it is a good time to start putting your seed down now if you're going to be doing that.
Okay, let's talk about the big yellow bag. That's why we are out at Biograss today, because today is the day our listeners get this great discount that you have to offer.
Yes, we have a deal. Our bags are usually $149, but today, if you give us a call, they are $20 off the first bag and $35 off any additional bags. So what you can do is you can either go online to bigyellowbag.com and use code KSL2021, or visit us or call us at 801-562-9090 to get that deal.
What's in the big yellow bag other than the wonderful black garden soil that I like to buy?
So we have four products, the black garden soil being the most popular, which is derived from compost, sandy loam soil, and natural wood finds. We also have a premium topsoil if, say, you're going to be building up a flower bed or, you know, putting in a lawn. It's a great product to put down below. Or we have some top dressing barks, which is one. We have two of them, actually. One is a natural color, which is ponderosa pine and Douglas fir. And then we have a dyed chocolate bark if you're looking for something darker.
Has anybody won the bag yet on the Instagram contest?
I haven't seen. I'm ready for some people to give us some more deals. Let's check it one more time really quickly. And we need some more guesses.
Tell people what's happening on Instagram.
So we have a deal. Oh, we've got some more, but we are doing no one's got it yet though. We are doing a deal. We're doing a free bag giveaway, and whoever can guess how many big yellow bags we deliver on a weekday. How many go out of our store into the customers any day? So comment on Instagram what your guess is on how many bags are going out, and we are going to announce a winner as soon as we get a little closer.
All right, a fun contest. And again, for your Big Yellow Bag, go to bigyellowbag.com. Put in the code KSL2021 for that great discount. We're going to take a break. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Dave has a sense of humor as he runs our show from the station this morning. If you're just tuning in, we are at BioGrass, where you can get your discount on the Big Yellow Bag today at bigyellowbag.com. Let's get right back to our phone lines this morning, and let's take a call from Earl. He's in Riverton. Good morning, Earl. What is your question?
Hey, I got an assignment from my sweetheart. She was driving to work, and she says, find out where you can get that burgundy fountain grass. It's called burgundy what?
Burgundy fountain grass. What I would do is call Perennial Favorites in Layton. They're a wholesale distributor, and they can tell you when it's going to be available and what retail outlets will have it.
Perennial,
if you Google
Favorites.
Perennial Favorites Layton, Utah, I'm not sure if they're in today, but they do answer their phones. And you can say, hey, I heard this talked about, and you should advertise more on KSL. And where can I get this burgundy fountain grass?
Because I just gave them a free ad, did I?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Burgundy Bunny fountain grass.
Bunny.
Yes. Yeah,
Burgundy Bunny.
I thought you said Burgundy Bunny, Bundy, or
no,
Buddy,
no,
and I
no,
thought,
no.
I better get...
No, we like bunnies much better, thank you.
Than Al Bundy.
Burgundy
so.
Bunny fountain grass.
Yeah, Burgundy
yes.
Bunny.
Have you seen it? I mean, where have you seen it at?
Well, I've seen it in flower beds, and it is a fairly new one, but it's just if you're familiar with fountain grass, it has that growth
right.
form, but it just has the yellow or the red tips, and then it turns that kind of burgundy red in the late summer and fall.
And we have an article up on the Facebook page, don't
yeah.
we? Yep, you can find
yeah,
it
we don't
on
do
KSL
Facebook.
Greenhouse Facebook page.
We don't have Facebook. We don't do that. We're too antique.
Okay.
one
more
along
quick
with
question.
Our board op right now.
Oh, my goodness. All right, enough of that.
That was a dig. Hey, what about, remember the old days you used to see those white bark trees? They were birch trees?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not
I see
them
I see over there nodding his head. Do you want to take this one?
Man, I've been looking for a birch tree for my yard. I love those things.
Well, the old-fashioned European and American white birch were decimated by bronze birch borer.
Oh.
And it's just been the last 15 or 20 years that we're getting resistant white-barked species back. So there's some native to North America, but most of these are Asian species where the borer is native, but you can find Himalayan white birch at some garden centers and get that look, and it's resistant to bronze birch borer.
You know, she says, what about that tree right there? And I said, that's the plague. That's a Quaken aspen.
Mm.
I hate to be rude to people with Quakies, but they're obnoxious after they get it started. They send up all them suckers and 20 years now you've got trees everywhere you didn't plant them. And
maybe
like
there's
that.
A part of the Bible that wasn't translated well, and the ninth plague of Egypt was aspens.
That or Chinese elm.
Okay, she's
Chinese
telling me.
I got to reel it all
yep,
back
reel
in
Reel it in.
Here.
Keep your day job. You're not a comedian.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. We do have a lot of people waiting with questions. What flowers, Tom, this is going to be a tough one. What flowers would survive water rationing on a full sun slope? they're worried about water rationing, but they still want to plant their flowers on a full sun slope. They haven't mentioned whether they want annuals or perennials, so maybe give
us
a couple
different
ones.
Well, and you've got to be, they're not going to be like Heidi dancing around in the movie singing in these drought-tolerant wildflowers.
He's a comedian.
So I guess what I'm more trying to point out here is that you've got to have reasonable expectations. Thanks. Someone likes me. But what I would look at, we need more information to really answer this well. If it's just a straight wildland area, there are drought-tolerant seed mixes that will have some wildflowers like California poppy. But what usually happens if they have yarrow is that the other ones will kind of fade out and the yarrow takes over.
You could just buy the California poppy seeds.
You could. And those are quite good. And as long as they get good spring rain, they will come up and then fade out in by July or August.
They just don't last long enough for
me. They don't.
Here at Biograss, we actually sell a wildflower mix that you can spread on something like that. That might work pretty well with some native varieties that we do have. That's pretty nice.
Great. All right. The next person has root weevils and they're peonies. And what's the best way to get rid of those?
There's several sprays out there. If you're wanting something more organic, you can veer towards something like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Or if you wanted to use permethrin. But because the root weevils don't have a determinate life cycle, you have eggs, larvae, and adults all at the same time through the season, you need to spray consecutively 4 or 5 times to totally get rid of them. You know, the real damage is coming from in the roots, but you see them manifested on the leaves by the notching. And so, but you have to kill the adults so that they don't lay more eggs.
All right, Chris is in North Salt Lake. Good morning, Chris. How can we help you? Chris, are you there?
Yep, sorry. Thanks for taking my call. I was out here weed eating while I was waiting.
Yep, I gotcha.
So, look, you know, we've got a great yard. We moved in here about 10 years ago, so we don't know what was planted, how it was done, but just over the last couple of years is we're really getting lumpy, especially in the backyard, and we're starting to see tree roots, and it's just getting kind of obnoxious. You know, we aerate, we do all those things. We haven't seeded, but I didn't know if we should take some seed and some sand and roll it, or what can we do to smooth it out, or do I need to rip this whole thing out and put sod in? Just kind of lost
some questions. Is it lumpy because of roots, or is the soil settling, or do you have clumpy grass? What's the situation?
It's not so much roots. There's one tree back there where we're now starting to see the roots come up, but that's not where all the lumpiness is coming from. It's just the whole ground, especially in the backyard, is becoming really lumpy.
Hayden, do you have any recommendations on this one?
For leveling stuff, there's a couple things. We don't really recommend using sand usually, but topsoil is much better of a recommendation for trying to level something out like that. It is a little bit tough, especially when it's extremely lumpy, to really get that stuff going. But topsoil and then overseeding is usually a pretty good thing to do.
Okay, and so I've had a friend recommend a roller, but you don't recommend using some sort of a roller.
It compacts the soil.
You can try, and they usually just don't have enough water to actually do much damage. You know, they don't really just level things out as good as we would like. I've tried it and had mixed results.
I have pictures of a guy using a steamroller on his lawn that did level it, but it also ruined his lawn.
Compacted it.
It's actually, I'm not joking. I post it every once in a while. But
as a reminder of things not to do.
Yeah, things not to do. That's in my top one or two of things not to do to your lawn.
Oh, my goodness.
But, if it's only lumpy in a few places, or if it, you can sometimes get a spade and lift these small sections of lawn back, resettle the soil, put some soil underneath, and then just almost like you're doing sod. But that's not practical for a whole lawn.
That's a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah, it's the whole lawn. I mean, when you mow over it with the lawnmower, you get shaken old guy syndrome.
Bounces up and down.
Yeah, the soil has settled over time, and that it may be that you just tolerate it. I mean, the only thing, like Hayden said, is once a month putting applications of 1/4 inch of topsoil on the low places and just keep that up, and that can help, but that's more easily said than done, because you need to have gradual, you know, it can't be super lumpy. It's more that you've got here and there that is lower than other places.
Right. And if it were me, I would I would continue doing the leveling with, you know, a quarter inch, half an inch, and then just keep doing that season after season, because you don't want to put too much on, but you will notice over time, if you continue to do it, that it will get better.
Do you just do that once a season? Just throw a quarter inch monthly,
maybe a third of an inch monthly. You don't want to do any more than that because you don't want to smother the crowns of the grass.
Right. And something that you can do to try and help not smother them is after you level the stuff out, you can actually take a broom, like a push broom, and even kind of push the soil around just to help that grass come through the topsoil so it gets some light penetration.
Okay. Awesome. And this topsoil is the same stuff we can get in the big yellow bag?
That's correct.
Awesome. Marketing that works.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.